Welcome to the WinFL Show.
Welcome to the Outer Hebrides. This is the WinFL Show. I'm your host, Ian McKinnon, and I'm joined this week by Mr. Jake McGee. Jake, how are you doing?
Well, not too bad, everybody. I've been busy, and the NFL world stops for nobody.
It certainly does not. And also joined this week by Mr. Dave Somerville. Dave, how are you?
I'm all good, buddy. Glad to be back, as always. But how are you guys doing?
Doing good, doing good. We've had a 2-week layoff, so people's ears have had a chance to recover, you know, and they don't need to be listening to our nonsense all the time. But we are back. We're back with the podcast. What we're going to be doing is, obviously, we're going to be going through, I've got random stats at the end. We're doing a countdown of the top 12 quarterbacks in the NFL as voted for by the WinFL Show in June, on the 12th of June. So it's this, you know, serious stuff that we're doing here before we go into the deep dives. It's not like we're searching for content at all. It's not that. So we're counting down our top 12 quarterbacks in the NFL as voted by us at the WinFL Show. But before we do that, of course, we start with the news. So, Mr. Jake McGee, why don't you tell us what has been going on in and around the NFL this week?
Alrighty, well, we'll start off sadly on a bit of a down note. We did have a couple of losses in the NFL community over the last couple of weeks, starting off with Jim Marshall, who started 270 consecutive NFL games. He was part of the legendary Minnesota Purple People Eaters. He does have the unfortunate stats of recovering a fumble, returned at 66 yards to the wrong end zone, resulting in a 49er safety. But you start 270 games in a row, I think that you get one, you get a pass. He passed away aged 87. And we did also lose an owner, Jim Irsay, the Colts owner. He passed away aged only 65. Very much an enigma, but absolutely adored by players, past and present. I believe it's staying within the Irsay family, the ownership, which is good to see. But yeah, only 65. But he's lived those 65 years. You have to give it to him.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word, yes. Yeah, if I could have half the experiences that man has had, then I'd be doing very well indeed. 65, it's such a shame for Irsay. But you're right, he was everyone. Just loved Jim Irsay. Did everyone who ever spoke about him just said he was hilariously funny. Just a nice guy, and he was Colts daft. He loved that team. Not like some owners who just buy the team as an investment. He actually was a diehard Colts fan. Jim Marshall and his wrong way run. There's not many plays that are named in the NFL. There's not many. You know, there's the catch and the butt fumble, and because they're not all good. Catch, good one. Butt fumble, not so good. The wrong way run. It's just, it's the stuff of legends, Jim Marshall scooping up and running the wrong way. And then as he runs into the end zone, flings the ball out because he's celebrating like he scored a touchdown, only for his teammates to say, no, you went the wrong way, man. It's a safety. Did you say 270 consecutive starts? For that, was he a defensive end, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Like, that's... when you're getting smashed in the face on every single play, 270 consecutive starts is ridiculous. Dave, give us your thoughts on Irsay and Marshall.
Well, Marshall was actually, I was looking through maybe about 5:30, 5:45 early tonight. I was looking through my kind of collection of random stats. Everyone seems to pick up random stats, whether they actually say them on the show or not. I know that maybe what... one in three of my stats get said in the show and the rest kind of go into the abyss or into the locker. But that stat was one of them. And obviously, because of the recent news, it had popped up previously. He's going to be remembered regardless. So, good for him. He did have a great life. Fair play to him. The situation with Irsay, very, very sad for the NFL community. I have been looking into the next stage of the Colts kind of future with Jim Irsay's daughter is taking over as CEO. I think it's Carly Irsay Gordon is her name. And what she is going to be doing, this is not completely confirmed, But apparently what she's going to be doing is having a play call sheet in front of her and a pair of headphones listening to all the correspondence, because in her own words and thoughts is that she wants to be listening to the people she pays millions and millions of bucks to. What do we think of that?
I'll tell you what I think about that. Doesn't that kind of smack of a certain fella over in
Seahawks?
Well, I was going to say a guy,
Jerry Jones,
the guy in Dallas. When you have an owner who wants, I hate to use the phrase too much control, because they own the team. They can do what they like, right? It's your team. You own it. You can do what you like. But if you're going to have a general manager, and if you're going to have, you know, coaches and play callers, let them do their job. And I understand the sentiment, but, oh, Jake, what's your thoughts? It just smacks of Jerry Jones, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, we all have experienced micromanaging, and you should be in a position as an owner where, like you say, you make a good hire, you let that person do what you hire them to do. You don't then watch them do their job and tell them yes, no, maybe, when you're not qualified to do that. She's, you know, no disrespect, she's not, you know, Sean McVay Jr. She's not, you know, an offensive genius. She's not going to be able to look at a play sheet and say, oh, we should run that on a 3rd and 12. They'll never see it coming. You don't know. Just let the professionals handle it. Speaking of Jerry Jones, we will get the definitive story of Jerry Jones, because we've not heard about it enough.
Oh, no.
And the Dallas Cowboys, this small team in Texas, America's team, The Gambler and His Cowboys, premieres August 19th on Netflix. I mean, I'm for one all for it, because I can't, like, these Netflix documentaries, whenever they're made to make someone look good, they always do the complete opposite, and everyone goes away going, wow, they really thought they did something with that.
Yes. I watched the Brett Favre one. Have you seen that? Oh. And that is some pretty compelling viewing. If anyone's not seen the Brett Favre documentary, I would recommend watching that. There's a few insights there, and you're like, oh, wow, okay. But with the... So, to all of our Dallas Cowboys fans who might be listening, you know, it's just more publicity for your team. Whether you want it or not, you're getting it going into this season. A lot more publicity. So, I will reserve judgment until I have watched it. But, oh, that might be rough, because a lot of these documentaries don't like to pull any punches. They like to go behind the scenes and, you know, check behind the cushions and see what they can find. So it'll be interesting to see what that's like. What else have you got for us, Jake?
Well, we'll round out this kind of section with talking about Demaryius Thomas, the 5-time Pro Bowler, the former Bronco, posthumously being invited to the Ring of Fame, or the Ring of Honor, I think it is. I'm not entirely sure with the Broncos. Ring of Honor with the Broncos. Lots of teams call it different things. But it's great to see his legacy continuing. Obviously, a huge part of the Broncos kind of during my time of watching, like really getting into the NFL, Peyton Manning, Eric Decker, Demaryius Thomas. The tight end who went to the Jaguars, is it Julius Thomas?
Julius Thomas, right? Yeah.
Nailed it. So yeah, great to see him still be remembered and inducted into the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, he's pretty much sort of third or fourth on all Broncos receiving records, all-time franchise records, basically behind only Rod Smith and Shannon Sharp. And Demaryius Thomas, nobody in the history of the NFL ran a bubble screen like Demaryius Thomas. There's a reason that Peyton Manning got 55 touchdowns in one season. Half of them were thrown behind the line of scrimmage to Demaryius Thomas. And then he just took it all the way. He was a great player, by all accounts, an absolute gentleman, and thoroughly deserving of his place in the Ring of Honor. Dave, your quick thoughts on Demaryius Thomas?
One of the best to do it. I mean, especially like you're saying with the bubble screens. Now, the difference between... I feel like there's a difference in the way that defenses approach the throws now. Because screens, whether it's bubble screens, whether it's, you know, little tight end screens or running back screens, they're all a bit more predictable at times. Whereas for some reason, they did it so much at the Broncos, they did it so successfully, but teams still couldn't see it coming. It was impressive. But, you know, I'm one of a kind person and player, so, you know, RIP.
RIP DT, absolutely. Let's move on. What else you got for us, Jake?
Well, seeing as we're still talking NFL, talking the Broncos, let's talk some Lions and some terrible news for our friend Ewan McPhail as their centre, Frank Ragnow, retires, aged only 29, obviously played at an incredibly high level for that Lions offensive line, but wisely making the choice, especially as a centre, that, hey, there's only so many hits to the head I can take. The last kind of 2 years, it's been kind of floated out, will he, won't he retire? So this isn't a complete shock. And you see, you get to kind of mini camp, OTAs, you get to training camp, and the old heads go, I've not got it in me. I can't do this anymore. My body's not taking it. My body's not loving it. And I've got to look after myself. So aged only 29, but played at such a high level for many years. And he hangs it up.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's been at the top of his game for, what, 6-7 years? And just a great player. He was sorely missed on that offensive line. I think we can all agree to that, Dave. Ewan's going to be obviously very sad that he's not there anymore. But as Jake says, you know, these guys have got to, your health comes first. Your health comes first. And as you get a little bit older and you take a knock and it takes out a little bit long to recover from it, it's probably a wise thing. He's doing the right thing for himself. But oh, the Lions are going to feel that one, aren't they?
But a lot of the Lions have kind of been, you know, the line's been stripped down quite a bit this past kind of off season, and Ragnow is, I believe, when it was announced, I did read a bit into it, you know, to add to wade through Ewan McPhail's tears, to, you know, to get to my desk, but it was I believe he was a leader on that front line. You know, he wasn't the oldest, he wasn't the most experienced, but he was a leader on the front line, which is what you really want, especially a centre. You know, he's the one snapping the ball, he's making calls for the quarterback as well, in some of the coverage. I think is it Jensen that was at the Bucs, Jake, if you can remind me, was the
centre? Ryan Jensen.
Yeah. Ryan Jensen, yeah. He was instrumental in making coverage calls for a player we don't name on this podcast when they won the Super Bowl last. So that's, yeah, and Kelsey as well was apparently very, very good for our centre for making coverage calls. So huge loss. What they're going to do to properly replace him and integrate, I mean, I have faith in Dan Campbell to do it, but that offense has taken a hit. They've put their cornerstones in place, but I think they're going to maybe need a little bit of time to adjust to this new reality of theirs.
Definitely. Jake, what else you got?
There was even a trade whilst we've been away that long that the NFL has come up with a trade. The 49ers trade for Bryce Huff, the defensive end who is latest with Philly, more well known for his time at the Jets. Yeah. And then they had the Hassan Reddick, Bryce Huff, almost basically trade, but it was a swap, and neither of them worked out. Well, Philly move on for a 2026 mid-round pick. I believe it is a fifth round that can become a fourth. So the 49ers get some much-needed help on the edge for not a lot of money, and the Eagles kind of get rid of a failed experiment. And there's not many of those for Howie Roseman, so I think he just wants to kind of get rid of it, brush it under the carpet, and move on.
I mean, fair play. You're looking at it and say, hey, this isn't working for us. It didn't work. Let's move on. How many times have we seen players, coaches with players, and it runs for 2, 3, 4 years, and you're like, enough's enough. These guys get paid a lot of money. And if they're not doing the business, you need to be able to admit that you made a mistake and just go, this isn't working. Change your mind. It's one of the best qualities that a coach can have, is to be able to change their mind, just admit when they make a mistake. Dave, what do you think of the Bryce Huff going to San Francisco?
Oh, Eagles making another competent decision. Oh, yay, that's what the NFC needs, isn't it? But the 49ers need some strength and depth. I think that it probably addresses that need more than anything else. But they've got they've got some young players there. Obviously, they've got Bolsa, but they've got some young players on that defensive line. As a team that we all know and love, that had a very young defensive line last year, and are another year experience that's destroyed the 49ers pretty much. I think a bit of experience dotted in there is always a good thing.
Definitely. What else you got for us, Jake?
Well, we're at the mandatory minicamp, or just coming to the end of mandatory minicamp for a lot of teams, and some players not turn up for different reasons, but most of it comes down to money. We've got TJ Watt, who is waiting for a new contract. We've got Trey Hendrickson, who's noticeably still waiting for a contract and has been for some time.
Yep.
Terry McLaurin, again, getting towards the latter end of his career, maybe, wanting another contract. And if you see the size of Debo Samuel, I think the Commanders will give it to him. And then the Dolphins themselves are just a complete mess. But Jalen Ramsey's not turned up. He's waiting to be traded. Jonnu Smith, whose name has been floated about in trades, has not turned up as well. And then just today, Shamar Stewart, I believe the Bengals' first round pick number 17, here to either replace or help Trey Hendrickson, has left mandatory minicamp. He was there. He's still not signed. The Bengals haven't signed him. He's probably the only rookie not signed at this point, so which is mental when you think, Travis Hunter's playing two positions.
Yeah.
And they managed to sort out the language and the contract there. But the Cincinnati Bengals having one hell of an offseason as usual. And we thought when they got the T. Higgins and Jamar Chase stuff done early, okay, we're finally going to have a normal offseason for the Cincinnati Bengals. They've then released Jermaine Pratt, who was their leading tackler last year.
Mm.
And you think, okay, weird decision, but you freed up all this money. You've got like $27 million in money this year. Surely you're talking to Trey Hendrickson. Trey Hendrickson says, we've received no contact. The Bengals are just horrendously run. I believe they're also looking to build a new stadium in the coming years, and they're asking like everybody in Cincinnati to pay like 5% more tax to fund it. So
yeah,
hey, people in Cincinnati, don't worry, if you pay 5% more tax, we still won't pay our players.
It's just I don't know what the Bengals are doing. It seems like we see this every off season the past couple of years. No idea what they're doing. I don't. Dave, do you know what they're doing?
I think it's we've said it for a while though that we think the Bengals are just tight so and so's, they really are. I did actually see something about the Jonnu Smith situation, and that was a couple weeks ago. He was being touted for a possible trade too. Cincinnati. So it's just, well, that was a weird one. The other one was Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's name popped up, and now I'm not quite sure yet. We may find out shortly if there's been any news from Pittsburgh. But for Jonnu Smith. I think there's a couple teams that need to get their fingers out sharply, because obviously the situation with that Bengals edge, both edges, I should say. It's horrible. You've got one of the best edges in the game, like kind of sitting twiddling his thumbs, and then apparently with Shamar Stewart, his what he's wanting in his contract is nothing new, nothing that hasn't been done by the Bengals before for first round picks, and yet they won't do it for him, or they're just trying to get this kind of one up on him. It's what he's saying anyway. The Bengals haven't said anything, so there's a lot of he said, she said kind of situations here. But I mean, just get your heads down there. It's multimillionaires that are discussing multi-million pound deals, and it's only the fans are at this point are going to suffer because these players are cutting their camps short because they can't discuss who gets 90 pence and who gets £1.10. That's the difference between these kind of figures and whatnot. So grow up.
Well said. What else got Jake?
Well, I mentioned Jermaine Pratt was released. Jair Alexander from the Packers also released. It was a great corner for Green Bay, and then Green Bay rewarded him with like a $87 million contract over 4 years, and then Jair Alexander stopped playing football. Between injuries and all sorts, it's just not worked out the last couple of years. there was a lot of trade talks last year. There was a lot of trade talks mid-season and draft, and nothing's come to fruition. They've ended up just kind of mutually parting ways. Interesting to see where or if he lands anywhere in terms of, you know, if he's healthy. But it's another corner on the market. Jermaine Pratt has mentioned released by the Bengals, but already picked up and signed by the Raiders for 1 year, $4.25 million with $500K incentives. So I'm assuming that's kind of the Robert Spillane replacement. But there has been some extensions whilst we've been gone. Starting off with Rashad Bateman, a 3 year, $36.75 million extension with $20 million of that guaranteed. So that's a Baltimore wide receiver getting paid, not named Zay Flowers.
That's a decent amount of cash. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. That's quite a bit. That's quite an extension. Dave, what do you make of that? What's that?
Big. Yeah, a lot of bonuses. On that deal, by the look of it, so that's what it's a bit more team friendly. But I think obviously he's got a big connection with Lamar that's been demonstrated in the last few years. In regards to J.R. Alexander, though, the two teams that have been touted as going for him and Jalen Ramsey primarily are the 49ers, which I quite like that not to happen, and the Raiders. As well. So the Raiders probably not done in this offseason. The Rams and Dolphins names have been kicking about as well. Obviously, the Dolphins with J.R. Alexander, Rams with more Ramsey because of what he was there previously. That, you know, we were quite happy with him always. Personally, I don't know. Ramsey's kind of form has been great the last couple of years. Alexander's barely been on the pitch the last couple of years. It'd be an interesting. I'm really interested to see what their contracts are going to be, both of them, in their new teams, of where teams rank them in terms of, you know, or can they still do it? So, yeah, I'm interested.
I think it's weird because you're looking at two top end defensive backs.
On their days,
And I know that, like, you're right, Alexander Pease had his injury issues, and perhaps Ramsey's lost that quarter of a step in his actual speed, but these are top-notch defensive backs. And it's not often that you see two of them essentially just, you know, up for grabs for anyone who wants them. It's almost like, you know, the other year with Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley, like two of the top guys at their position. Like, what's going on here? And it's very strange. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, if Las Vegas are looking to pick up one or even two of those guys, that would be a huge haul for the Raiders if they can pull that off. I don't think that will happen, purely because I don't think the Raiders have the cap space available. I would need to double check on that. But Jake, I'll get your opinion on that. With these two guys, Alexander and Ramsey, what would you think would be a good falling point for these guys? What do you reckon?
I mean, the Raiders absolutely would, because you see their cornerback depth, it's not fantastic. No. And also you see their defensive line, you probably only have to cover for about 2 seconds. So, you know, it's a pretty good place to fall. So, yeah, if the Raiders can pick up one of them, it's fantastic. Yeah. Similar if one of them could go to the Rams or the 49ers. If you can go to, you know, be released by a team and end up on a contender who's expected to be in the playoffs or play in Las Vegas with a great defensive line, I think you're pretty happy with that.
Definitely. Well,
probably, I think one team to look out for with Jalen Ramsey, if our trade to happen, is the Eagles. So they're looking for one more defensive back, allegedly. So,
I'd watch wait out. And see that. We need to wait and see on that. I think Eagles have got enough talent on that defensive side. Well, just saying. what else you got for us, Jake?
Well, talking of teams with enough talent on one side of the ball and, you know, just getting richer and richer, the Vikings have locked down Josh Oliver, the tight end, not named TJ Hawkinson, to a 3 year, $23.25 million deal. Can go up to $27.5 million, and it includes $19.9 million in total guarantees. Not 20, 19.9. They said, we can't guarantee you that 100 grand. That's really important to us.
It's shocking. Oliver's one of those guys that I always forget about. And I completely forget that he exists. Not because he's not good. I just forget about it. It's a bit like, who's the guy in Arizona? Trey McBride.
Right? How can you forget about Trey McBride? Because the man catches 400 passes, none for TDs.
Well, that's why, I think. Because he's a great player, but you just, when you think of, oh, who's the best tight ends in the NFL? And you think, oh, there's George Kittle, Mark Andrews, and, you know, guys like that. And McBride just kind of slips under the radar. And I think it's the same with this guy. He just slips under the radar and you kind of forget about him. As you see, the guy not named TJ Hawkinson. It's, you know, it's in the way you say it. Dave, what do you think?
I agree. He's that tight end. He's very good at what he does. Very competent. He's not top tier tight end, but he does his job very, very well. And Kevin O'Connell loves the tight ends that he knows. So if he sees a tight end that he knows, he took a couple of the kind of second string over from the Rams, and because he liked them, he fit into what he wanted to accomplish. So he's got Oliver, and he's asked the backroom staff to lock him down. So obviously he's going to be, you know, front and center for the next couple of seasons.
Definitely. What else you got for us, Jake?
Well, let's talk about another position that gets forgotten about. There's been some punter news. We started off with the Jaguars and punter Logan Cook reaching a 4-year extension. Mm-hmm. I believe it was for $16 million. He was the highest paid punter for about a day, because then the Seahawks signed Michael Dixon to a 4-year $16.2 million deal to make him the highest paid punter. It's, you see this with like defensive ends, wide receivers, even quarterbacks. You don't expect to see the punters one-upping each other, but you have to love it. I know just from seeing on Twitter that a lot of Jag fans are very happy to keep Logan Cook around. And I believe the Seahawks, this might even be the second contract they've given to Michael Dixon. When you've got a good punter, you keep the good punter, because, you know, imagine letting Thomas Morstead walk out.
We won't talk about that. As you guys know, on this podcast, we love special teams. We just love every position. Special teams is wonderful. How many games have you watched in your team? And it always seems to be, it's always your team, and you punted, shanks one at the worst possible time while the other punter is coffin kicking inside the one. It seems like every single punt you're like, oh my, if only we had a good punter. And then you get times where you just completely forget about the punter, and you forget that they're there. And that's the issue with punters, because if you have a really good offense, then you're not punting a lot, and you kind of forget that a really good punter can absolutely swing the game in or against your favour. Dave, I know you love punters too. One-upping by a couple of $100,000 is wonderful, isn't it?
It's the pettiness I'm here for.
Yes.
It's the kind of thing that I definitely say is, we want more of this. Punters are a bit weird at the moment. There's the odd one or two big guys that seem to be coming through from college, but then it's always been the thing in the last 20-25 years, next man up. For, you know, if a punter or a kicker has a bad two games in a row, let's get another one in. So it's just this kind of carousel of kickers and punters. But I think maybe it's calmed down a little bit with all these decent contracts happening, and, you know, $16 million, $16.2 million, and Brandon Aubrey's going to have like a $100 million guaranteed contract from Dallas.
Well, that's kickers for you. Jake?
Well, we'll finish off talking about some signings, players who kind of on the 19th wage of free agency are slowly getting picked up. The Chargers signed former first rounder Bud Dupree. It's a 1-year deal up to $6 million. When they don't mention any guarantees or base salary, you can imagine a lot of that is in playing time incentives. Another linebacker picked up was Shaq Thompson. He signed for the Bills. And we've already mentioned Jermaine Pratt. So you're seeing they've got to camp and they've realized, oh, well, we need some linebackers. So getting picked up, because Bud Dupree's probably the highlight there in terms of the money-wise.
Yeah. But
a few teams that are playoff teams as well that's looking to shore up.
Oh, definitely. Dupree is a good pickup. He's a solid player. And I mean, I don't really know what else you can say about that. That's the kind of guy that you want on your team. Dave, what do you make of those three?
Value for money. That's what you want at this stage. So as like Jake's saying, 1,019th stage of free agency. Yeah, I think it's good that there's still a couple players available for some value available just to you know solidify the strength and depth.
Yeah, and there's been another couple of signings, hasn't there, Jake?
Yes, let's talk some running backs. We've got Nick Chubb coming off kind of back-to-back rough years and horrible injuries. Well, he's not been picked up by the Browns, but another playoff team, again, taking a punt. They've got Joe Mixon in the back, and now you've got Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb in the backfield, which is a scary thought if Nick Chubb can find even an ounce of what he had before these injuries. I believe it's a $2.5 million up to $5 million deal on a 1 year with the Texans. And the other running back, who was a finalist for the Comeback Player of the Year last year, so you can tell he's had his injury problems as well, is J.K. Dobbins, signing a 1 year, $5.25 million deal with your Broncos, which I find quite interesting because you've let a couple of running backs go. You then draft RJ Harvey and you're like, oh, this is Sean Payton's like Darren Sproles. And then you've went up and picked J.K. Dobbins. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, when I first saw it, I thought, why are the Broncos signing J.K. Dobbins? Because you're right. Okay, so Javonte Williams is gone. We know that. I'm gutted. Love Javonte Williams. But Audric Estime looked good last year. Jaleel McLaughlin, great back. Tyler Beatty, although they call him Bidet, not sure why. Tyler Beatty had flashes. And then we draft RJ Harvey, and I watched his college highlights and went, hello, look at this kid. But so I was surprised when they signed him. But then when I had a moment to process it, I thought, well, why wouldn't you sign him? J.K. Dobbins is fantastic. If he's free, that is, of course you're going to sign this guy. It makes perfect sense. The Broncos, and I know Sean Payton likes to do a sort of, I don't want to say by committee, but he does like to utilize different backs in different situations. And I think J.K. Dobbins is a fantastic addition to the Broncos. Absolutely fantastic. The one thing that R.J. Harvey struggled with in college was pass protection. He was rubbish in pass protection. I know for a fact J.K. Dobbins can pass protect. He can pick up blitzes with the best of them. This is a great signing. Looking at Nick Chubb, why the Browns didn't re-sign Nick Chubb is beyond me. It must be because they've got so much faith in their quarterback position. Dave, what do you reckon about the Nick Chubb going to, I mean, I know Jake loves it. Jake loves Nick Chubb coming there. He's like, hello, I'll take this. You kidding me? But what's your take on, not so much the Texans, but the Browns essentially letting this guy go?
Well, I think to quote Derrick Henry back in summer 2023, if I remember, a reporter asked him, you know, what would you say to the rest of the world as the top running back in the league? And he said, I don't know. Go ask Nick Chubb. So there you go. There's a brilliant endorsement right there from Derrick Henry. That Nick Chubb, he's probably got no ligaments left in his legs. But at this point, one is enough to give teams terrifying experiences with Nick Chubb because he is just that good. The Browns, we just know what happens to such great organizations when, and you know, karma definitely doesn't come back to bite them again and again. And I think this is going to be one of those again and again situations. I mean, even for the Joe Mixon situation, we know the Bengals are tight because we've said it but three times on this podcast alone that they are tight. The running back market, when they had the chance to sign Joe Mixon, was at its lowest. Was at its absolute lowest. So that's when all these running backs got into that kind of Zoom call, if you remember. And they were discussing what to do about the contract situation because none of them were getting paid. So Joe Mixon was then released because he wanted, at that time, the top market value of running backs. And the Bengals said, nope, bye-bye, there's the door. Texans and picked him up for a slightly lower amount. And now the Texans have landed with Mixon and Nick Chubb. So if CJ Stroud has an off day, I can tell you two individuals who are not going to be on that off day as well.
Jake, I'm going to throw this over to you. Does this give the Texans the best 1 and 2 running back room in the NFL?
Oh, see, that's tough. You've got
Gibson, Montgomery, were the guys, you know, in Detroit. And, you know, it was both, the two of them. Mixon was great, but adding Nick Chubb, if he can stay healthy, oh my word. What's your thoughts, Jake?
Well, I think it's a great landing spot for Nick Chubb because he's not going to the Browns or another team where they're saying, we need 2022 Nick Chubb. Yeah. We need, you know, you pushing 2,000 yards. The Texans are going to say, listen, we need you to get 500 yards and like 6 touchdowns. And that'll be more than enough because we just need you in situations. Joe Mixon's tired. Swap in. You know, we want to give a different look. Swap in. It's perfect landing spot for him. I don't think Joe Mixon will be overly kind of concerned. I think it will be a 1-2 punch, and Joe Mixon will certainly have the first dib at that. As for the strongest backfield, I mean, you've got Saquon Barkley and the water boy. You've got Derrick Henry and Jim. You know, they're the greatest 1-1. You know, they don't really need a 2. But we've seen the 1-2 work, like you mentioned, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Yeah. You know, you think this can't work, and they go, actually, we're going to make this work, and we're going to make it work for multiple years in a row.
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly think if they both stay healthy, if Mixon and Chubb can stay healthy, and you would hope that they would, because they could essentially relieve each other as and when needed, as you see, different situations, this could end up being the best 1-2 running back punch in the NFL this year. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen in Houston. Now, I don't think there was any other signings, Jake. Was there any other signings?
Surely there was no news about a certain somebody. Surely. Sadly. Well, actually, I think this is good news for everybody.
Okay.
Because it's over. The saga is over. The most prolonged, obvious news of the entire offseason is that Aaron Rodgers has signed with the Steelers. Go figure. They didn't want to go into the season with Mason Rudolph as a starter. No offense, Mason. He has signed with them. A 1-year, $13.65 million base salary. He has a $10 million signing bonus. Equates for a $14.15 million cap hit. And then he's got an interesting incentive package that I'll read out for you. So in total, he can earn up to 5.85 million incentives. How can he do that, you say? A playoff berth will get him 500,000. And you think, well, the Steelers always have a winning season, so that's possible. If they get to the playoffs and then win in the wild card, guess what? 600,000 more G's coming to you, Aaron. They then go on to win the divisional. A cool $750,000. They somehow get to the conference championship, $1 million. They win a Super Bowl, $1.5 million. And if he gets his fourth MVP, another $1.5 million. So that's how Aaron Rodgers is going to earn nearly $6 million in incentives. And we would be remiss if we didn't celebrate that Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't like to share a lot. You know, he doesn't like the attention.
Oh, no, he hates attention.
But he's recently married, so congratulations, Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure, like all your family relations, this will go perfect.
I mean, I don't want to talk out of turn about someone's spouse, right? But has she not been paying attention to what's been happening over the past couple of years? And just like everyone who's seen this guy in television is like, this guy Aaron Rodgers, he's not right in the head. But I shouldn't jest about things like that. The Steelers will likely have a winning season. They may make the playoffs just because of Mike Tomlin, not because of Aaron Rodgers. We saw what happened with the Jets last year. They had Aaron Rodgers for a year. Where did that work out? You know, and that Jets team, you would argue, had better offensive weapons than this Pittsburgh team. And this Pittsburgh team just let Najee Harris go. I don't know. Dave, I'm glad it's over. As Jake says, the saga is done. We don't need to talk about it anymore, but we do need to talk about justice one time. Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh. What's your thoughts?
I mean, it's still not done in terms of the Aaron Rodgers story, because we're still not going to stop hearing about it. Because guess why? He's going to stay in the headlines because nobody knows whose wife is. So that's how you stay relevant. You keep a little bit of information away. So everyone's like, oh, who's his wife? Who's his wife? Apparently, they even asked his brother, who he no longer talks to. And he's like, I didn't even know he was dating someone. Nobody knows who his wife is in the family.
Why would you ask someone that he doesn't talk to? That's like the worst. That's like the worst journalistic endeavor ever. It's like, if you want to find out something about Jake, and then hang on, let's find someone who Jake doesn't talk to.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
That's just it. Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous.
The only thing that's really, I mean, there was I don't know, was it ESPN or one of the main broadcasters went and interviewed Danica Patrick. Now, for those that don't know, Danica Patrick is a former Indy 500 driver that used to date Aaron Rodgers and wanted her opinion on it. That's how slow the news is recently.
Oh, my goodness.
But Aaron Rodgers is still at the forefront. Back to the football, though. Aaron Rodgers or Mason Rudolph, I mean, which side of the face do you want punched in? It's that kind of decision you get. Yeah, there's something bad that comes with both options. Something very bad comes with both these options. Not a whole lot of good comes with these options. But you know, Mike Tomlin is Mike Tomlin. He's as experienced as it comes. Maybe not. I mean, he's worked some miracles, but he's not Jesus when it comes to Mason Rudolph. So you'll be able to work something out surely with Aaron Rodgers and implement him into a system, hopefully for the sake of the Steelers.
Perhaps you're right. So, gentlemen, that wraps up the news. And we come to our next segment. Now, what I've done, because, you know, everyone's doing power rankings just now. Everyone loves power rankings, don't they? Now, we had our WinFL show team power rankings about, 3 weeks ago now? And everyone agreed that it was really, really, really accurate and just basically perfect, apart from Dave, who didn't like where the Rams were. Now, what we have done is we have ranked the top 12 quarterbacks in the NFL. We each took our own poll of the top 12 quarterbacks, then ranked them, we've collated the evidence, and we have come up with the definitive top 12 quarterback rankings on the 12th of June. So a long way to go till the start of the season, but this is definitive. These are the top 12 quarterbacks in the NFL. And we're going to start with a little bonus, because we've got the guys who just missed out. These are guys who got votes from the four of us. This is myself, Jake, Dave, and Patrick, but just missed out on the top 12. Just missed the cut. We have Kyler Murray, who scored 2 points, and Bo Nix, who had 6 points. They have just missed the cut. And I just want to talk about the points here. This was worked out in the same way we did our power rankings. So it was ranked 1 to 12. The player number 1 got 12 points. Player ranked 12 got 1 point. So that's the way we've done it. So once again, we have Kyler Murray got 2 points. Bo Nix had 6 points. These guys just missed the cut. So in their next position, which is what we would call six of the rest, at number 12 with 6 points. And you may go, hang on a second, Bo Nix had 6 points. Why is he not number 12? Why did he miss the cut? Because the player in 12th place had higher rankings than Bo Nix did across the board. And that is Baker Mayfield. He ends with 6 points. He is 12th on our list. We then move to number 11, just 1 point ahead with 7 points. The 11th best quarterback in the NFL, as voted by the WinFL show, CJ Stroud of the Houston Texans. He's at number 11. At number 10, we've got Brock Purdy with 11 points. He's 10th on the list. With 15 points at number 9, It's Matt Stafford of the Rams. He comes in ninth on our list. We then have, with 18 points, number 8, Jared Goff of the Detroit Lions. And at number 7, rounding up our 6 of the rest, with 19 points, just 1 point ahead of Goff, is Jaden Daniels of the Washington Commanders. Oh. Jaden Daniels. So what do we think about those 12 to 7? And of course, the two guys who missed out. What do you make of that, guys? Jake, I'll start with you because...
Yeah, Jake first.
Yeah. Jake obviously needs a deep breath because Matthew Stafford wasn't first. You know, we know how it goes with the Rams.
We do.
I did take great pride in putting Jared Goff one position ahead of Matthew Stafford on mine, and I did kick my feet and think, Dave will hate this. So I'm glad it worked out between all of us as well. A few things. How did Kyler Murray get even close to this list? And Baker Mayfield at 12 is very low for me. Mm-hmm. I had him a little bit higher. I was sad Bo Nix missed out. He was my 12th rated, so I was one of his points at least. And you'll be surprised, as a, you know, AFC Texans fan, neither Stroud or Purdy made my list at all. So obviously they were a bit higher rated by some others.
Yeah, I did see that. I just thought... So what we can see here, Nix was ranked 12th by Dave, by yourself, Jake, and by myself. And he was ranked 10th by Patrick. However, Baker was ranked 10th by me, 10th by you, Jake. So he gets the same amount of points, but he's ranked higher more often. So
he wasn't on Dave's or Patrick's list at all?
Baker was not on Dave's list, and he was not on Patrick's list.
Wow.
I know. Baker Mayfield.
You've got a Saints fan back in the books, quarterback at 10th. Oh, man.
Yes. So that's where that comes from. Dave, what's your thoughts on this list so far?
I think that Daniels at 7 is not going to be as high as 7 at the end of this season coming. I really don't think that. I think that Baker, I may or may not have forgotten about Baker. that might be something I've done. I did put Kyler onto my top 12 list. The reason being is that when I see him twice a year, I think Kyler is a good quarterback. He just has a not great... offensive line primarily around him, and you know he's not had the greatest weapons ever, but maybe swap 8 and 9, but aside from that I'm sure it's fine.
I don't know why we would swap 8 and 9. Daniels was ranked 7th, 8th, 9th, and 9th in people's rankings. So that's where Daniels was ranked. I mean guys, he just come off a rookie season. It's pretty good to be ranked anywhere near the top 12 after your rookie season. So, you know, no complaints there, surely. So we then come to our 6 of the best. These are the top 6 quarterbacks as ranked by the WinFL show. At number 6, with 27 points, Justin Herbert of the Los Angeles Chargers. At number 5, with 31 points, Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles. And the top 4 quarterbacks were basically ranked as the top 4 quarterbacks by all of us, almost in the exact same order. they are number 4, 36 points, Joe Burrow. Number 3, 42 points, Lamar Jackson.
What a joke.
Number 2, 44 points, Josh Allen. And number 1, no surprises, 46 points, Patrick Mahomes. So those 4, Burrow, Jackson, Allen, Mahomes, were almost in that exact order. They weren't in that exact order. We will talk about that. But before we do that, get you guys' opinions. Jake, let's talk a little about Justin Herbert and Jalen Hurts, ranked 6th and 5th in the NFL. What do you think of that?
almost perfect for me. I had Hurts fifth, so I'm glad to see he was exactly where I rated him, between all of us. I had Justin Herbert seventh. I had Jared Goff slightly ahead of him. But again, I'm pretty happy that at least the kind of top six was consensus. It's reassuring that we're all on the same page. I've got big issues with the top three. Big issues.
Looking at it, well, first of all, you see the top six was all consensus. It really wasn't.
Oh.
No. You'd like to think it was. For example, Jake, you had Lamar, Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, Hurts, and Goff in your top six. I had Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, Hurts, and Herbert. Patrick had Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, Herbert, Hurts. And then Dave had Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, Hurts, and Stafford. Now, I'm all for being a homer, Dave. But having Stafford in your top six is a little bit ridiculous. You have to admit that.
I can tell you what my thought process was. I was thinking...
I know what your thought process was. You're a homer.
No, it's would I rather have Stafford as the Rams quarterback or Herbert as the Rams quarterback? And I'm picking Stafford.
If you're using that logic, why would you not just put Jane Daniels as like second then? Got a rookie deal, you know, if you're using that logic.
Yeah. Oh, then for that, no, but I mean just outright play, outright decision making. Stafford is better than both of them.
Oh, you're a strange guy, Dave. Put it this way, right? I thought Bo Nix had one of the greatest rookie seasons of all time last year. I had him 12th.
Me too.
Not 9th or 10th or 7th or 5th. I had him 12th because I thought, yes, he had a great year, but looking at the guys ahead of him, I'd have some guys ahead of him. But you look at Stafford and you're like, nah, he's better than everyone. I'm amazed you didn't have him number one. I'm amazed. You had an issue with him being behind Jared Goff.
You damn right I did, because Goff is nothing without the tools around him. Absolutely.
Oh, that's right.
Nothing.
Jake,
nothing without the offensive coordinator.
Jake, are you aware that Matthew Stafford doesn't have any decent play calling on offense at the Rams? And
no good play calling,
has had no receivers to speak of for years. Just, you know, nothing. Just
bums out there, you know, Calvin Johnson, who?
That's
Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp got cut, you know, that's how rubbish he is.
That's
Cooper
a bad...
He's a fifth round pick.
One of the worst rookie seasons we've ever seen by a wide receiver.
Who was our wide receiver one for about a third of last year? Tutu Atwell. That's who it was. When all our two main receivers were injured.
Oh, when we lost half our weapons.
Yeah.
That's like the Lions saying, who was our defensive end in the season? It was Tim the Merriman.
Aye. Well, after we lost the greatest, arguably the greatest defensive end in the NFL. Come on, Dave. You have to admit. Yeah, your argument holds less water than a colander. Come on.
Honest to God, I'm not even. Oh, obviously, yeah. In my thinking, there's going to be some bias. There's going to be a lot of bias. But Goff, there's a reason we got rid of Goff.
Do I need to show you the stats again?
One Super Bowl
since the trade. Goff has had better stats over every single metric than Stafford.
Minus the Super Bowl.
Hang on.
Wins. I thought wins weren't a quarterback stat, Dave.
You mean the one that counts?
Goff
couldn't get over that. Goff had the chance to get over that line. When we went to the Super Bowl, couldn't perform. He could not perform. He could not read the defense. How many points did we get? Three in that Super Bowl?
He shouldn't have been there in the first place, let's be honest.
Yeah, Tim didn't deserve to be there.
That's karma. Like you were talking about the Browns. That's karma.
Jake, do you know who was the quarterback for the record-setting offense the Rams had that went to that Super Bowl? Record-setting offense. That was Jared Goff. Since the trade, Jared Goff has outperformed Stafford in every single metric. It's not one. It's not just more yards or more touchdowns. Every single metric. Yes, Stafford won a Super Bowl. You tell me he didn't have a heck of a lot of help.
I think we need to address the bigger elephant in the room.
Which one's that, dude?
How the heck is Lamar Jackson not first, not second? He's third.
It's because pretty much everyone had Mahomes and Allen as number one.
Sheep.
Well, no, I think Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, maybe 2 years ago. Lamar Jackson's the back-to-back MVP. Oh, wait, no, they gave it to Josh Allen.
I absolutely believe that Lamar deserved an MVP last year. He was sensational. But if you asked me to start a franchise today with a quarterback, I'm taking Mahomes over Jax. I just am. I'm sorry.
I'll take Jaden Daniels. He's on a rookie contract. I don't like the argument.
Well, Jaden Daniels, very good. I'd take Bo Nix over Jaden Daniels.
Hey,
I didn't rank him above him. Above Jaden Daniels, even though he technically had a better year last year, broke 2 rookie records, NFL records. No one speaks about that, just saying. Jaden Daniels got rookie of the year. That's fine. That's fine. This year, we'll see what happens. Oh, damn. Just remember, Jaden Daniels got a whole bunch of weapons.
but that shouldn't matter.
Oh, no, because weapons don't matter according to
Dave. Because if Bo Nix has less weapons, he should be able to, it's better. That makes him a better quarterback.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
But yeah, justice for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. But the top four, everyone had in slightly different orders. Burrow, Jackson, Allen, and Mahomes. Dave, any arguments with those top four?
No.
Okay.
They were my top four with kind of Hurts and Herbert. Well, Hurts, Stafford, and Herbert, 5, 6, and 7.
Was Burrow out and out fourth for everybody? Because I found it very easy to pick a top three. Yeah. And I separated the top three and then kind of had the next tier.
Burrow was fourth. Fourth place, Patrick had Burrow, Dave had Burrow, you had Burrow, I had Burrow. Fifth place was Patrick had Herbert. David Hurts, the three of us had Hurts, Patrick had Herbert above Hurts. And then it was Hurts, Stafford, Goff, Herbert in fifth. That was Patrick, Dave, yourself, and myself. Went Hurts, Stafford, Goff, Herbert. But the top four were there's no denying who the top four in the NFL are. And they're all AFC quarterbacks.
Are you telling me? Looking at my list quickly, Dak Prescott only got one vote and it was from me.
Dak Prescott was the only one who got a top 12 vote.
And didn't make the cut at all.
Well, I was going to put him in the just missed it with Kyler, but I forgot that Dak existed, so that's why he wasn't in it. So I tried, Tim. I do apologize. I'm never going to get people going, hang on, so he got the same points as Kyler, but he misses out? Yeah. That's because I forgot Dak was there. Sorry, guys.
The other one that I thought I can kind of considered at the end was Geno, but I couldn't do it.
If it was top 15, I think he would have made top 15.
He'd make top 15. If you had top 15, Kyler would have been there, Geno would have been there, Bo Nix would have been there, Dak would be there. Absolutely, top 15. Top 12, because we've got 6 of the best, 6 of the rest, we're talking just missing out. I wouldn't have Geno top 12. I just wouldn't. But then, you look at some of the players who are on the list and guys that we did pick. For example, Patrick had Purdy. He had Purdy at 8. Nobody else had Purdy apart from myself at 7th.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
7th and 8th.
Yeah.
Oh, that is heavy. I don't even mind, but I'm not on Dave's level of hating him. But 7th. 7th best quarterback in the NFL. Maybe paid.
Well, again, the guys ahead of him, I wouldn't take him over them, but the guys behind him, I'm kind of looking at it going, oh, maybe I would.
Well, look at the highest paid, though. Like, you kind of look at the top 10, you got Tua missing.
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence missing.
Yeah.
What's the other guy? Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Jordan Love's not completely went missing. And the man who's just got a fairly new contract and new team, Sam Darnold.
I wouldn't have Sam Darnold.
But after a very good year last
year. Yeah, he had a great year. I'm not taking that away from him, but I wouldn't have
him. But he only had a great year because he had a great team. And we all know that means everything.
Yeah, that's true.
As soon as I opened my mouth, I knew that was
coming. Also, Jake, he had a really good wide receiver number one.
And his offensive coordinator is good as well.
But sometimes that doesn't matter. And sometimes it's the only thing that matters. I'm just saying. Just saying. Anyway, gentlemen, we're gonna move on. That was our QB rankings. Top 12. This will be revisited. Just like the team power rankings as we go into the season. It'll all be revisited. So, gentlemen, we come to our final segment, and it is, of course,
random stats.
Random stats. Now, who would like to go first for Jake McGee sticking his hand up there? Why don't you give us your random stat?
Yeah, I'll go first because I've got a random stat about a quarterback, so fits in quite nicely. Now, I'll tell you that no other quarterback besides this gentleman in NFL history has lost more than 18 games whilst having 350 passing yards, because that's pretty hard to do. But Drew Brees lost 28 games in which he threw for 350 or more yards. In fact, he threw for 465 yards and almost lost the game because he had a terrible team and terrible defense, but an absolutely fantastic quarterback. I'm sure and I pray that one day makes it into the Hall of Fame, and the absolute travesty, and I will put on record one more time, that during the peak of the NFC South was the only quarterback not to have won an MVP. That's going to upset me to the day I pass.
It's criminal that a guy who has more who had more 5,000 yard seasons than everyone else combined. I'm not sure if that's still the case now, but at least like 2 years ago it was the case. Didn't get an MVP. You're just like, come on. The guy, he didn't get MVP when he broke the passing record. Like, he broke the all-time passing record that had been set by Dan Marino all those years before and didn't win MVP. The Pro Bowl's just, the MVP votes, the All-Pros, they're not what they were, and it's such a shame. It really is. It's a popularity contest now. But that's a good random stat, Jake, albeit a little bit sad. But a good random stat. Dee, would you like to go next?
Yeah, why not?
Go for it.
So, obviously, some of my predictions last year especially, they contained quite a lot of overtimes and ties. So that was kind of the main theme. So I'll take you back to 1983 when the record for ties was broken by the Green Bay Packers in 1983. Now, in that season, obviously, they played 16 games in each season. They had 5 ties that went to overtime. 5 games went to overtime, in which they won 2 and lost 3. And at every point in that regular season, they were 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, 4-4, 5-5, 6-6, 7-7, and they finished the season 8-8, missing out on the playoffs. It was the random time stats of ties, and I just thought that there was something just majestic about it. They had so many overtimes and ties. I mean, they started off the season in game 1 against the Houston Oilers, and they were 38-38 going to overtime, and they won that one. By 41 points to 38. Another one, 41-41 against the Falcons. 2020 against the Lions, Vikings 17-17. And I think the other one I've got against the Bucks, which was 9-9, which was obviously an exciting game there to finish off on. But they won 2 of them, they lost 3 of them. But I just thought it was a bit of a overtime poetry for us from the 1983 Green Bay Packers, who were head coached by
Bart Starr. Yes,
indeed.
I'm not going to lie. When you started talking about ties, I was going to go, "Oh no, Dave's going to do my random stat," but you didn't.
Okay,
but you didn't. I'm going to talk about the career of one Daryl LaMonica. You ever heard of Daryl LaMonica? Yeah, well, not surprised, really. Oh, yeah. Daryl LaMonica played from 1963 to 1974. He played for the Buffalo Bills for the first four seasons of his career and then finished his career with the Oakland Raiders. Now, Daryl LaMonica, in his 12 years in the NFL, started 88 games. And he had a record of 66 wins and 16 losses. And I know what you're thinking. Hang on a second. 66 plus 16 does not add up to 88. That's correct. Because Daryl LaMonica holds the NFL record for most ties started by an NFL quarterback, because wins are not a QB stat, but ties definitely are. Six in his career. Six ties, including in 1970, an 8-4-2 record, and in the following year, in 1971, a 7-4-2 record. Daryl LaMonica is six ties, is the most by any quarterback in the history of the NFL. He was voted to five Pro Bowls in his career, and he was first team All-Pro in 1967 and 1969. And in 1969, he had the very first tie of his career, the 12-1-1 record. And that is my random stat.
I would like to disclose, as always, we never discuss our random stats. Mm-hmm. So the fact we've managed to go back to back about ties is a Dave wet dream. This is the best podcast.
It is. No, Jake's absolutely right. We do not discuss our random stats. We make a point of not revealing what our random stats are going to be so the other guys can react to it. And but as Dave was talking, I was like, oh no. Oh no. Here we go. Don't get me wrong. I always have a backup just in case, because one of these days it's going to happen.
It has happened a couple times, actually.
Oh no, it did happen. It didn't happen in random stats segment though, did it?
Yeah, it was halfway through the podcast. Oh, bonus random stat. No!
That's right.
That's happened a couple of times.
Because I remember Jake talking about the Saints. And it was, I think you were talking about Darren Sproles and how the Saints had set the NFL record for most yards in a season. And that was going to be my random stat. I was like, midway through, he was like, oh, bonus random stat. The Saints broke the record. And I was like, oh, no! No bonus random stats. Scrabbling to find a second. You always got a backup. But no, we don't discuss our random stats. We have no idea what they're going to be. The fact that two of them were ties, that's pretty impressive. Quite like that one, gentlemen. Anyway, that's the end of our podcast. What do you think of that? Yeah?
Oh, lovely. I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
He's still bitter. We've had two random stats about ties and he's still bitter.
That's unbelievable.
There's no pleasing this man. There's no pleasing.
None. You cannot be pleased, Dave. What we're going to be doing over the next few weeks for our listeners is we are going to be doing our deep dives. You'll see them starting towards the end of the month. We're going to be going every single division with a deep dive. We've got some very special guests coming on for the divisional deep dives. In the meantime, we're going to keep you up to date with all of the news going on in and around the NFL. And of course, we're going to have random stats every single week. But look out for us on YouTube and Instagram and also on X, although we don't really do much on that anymore. It's just, I mean, why would you? My goodness. What is going on? What is going on in the world, gentlemen? It's terrible. But thank you, Jake McGee, very much for stopping by.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dave Somerville, for stopping by.
Can't wait for next week.
Yes. Next week, we should have Patrick Jackson back with us, hopefully. Now, I will be away again next week. I'm going to be back down for the last time, hopefully, doing some training. And then that'll be me. So surely this is going to be the last time. But we will still have the podcast next week, so no worries about that. And as I say, hopefully Patrick Jackson will be back with us. Thanks again to the guys here. Thanks to everyone listening at home. And we will see you on next week's edition of The WinFL Show.
And we're clear.